And so we'll have a moment of silence for him.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Just worth mentioning, Bill Medeiros was a 28-year employee with Stanislaus County. Okay, we will begin our meeting today with a presentation for National Library Week, Stanislaus County. And Vanessa, are you going to give the presentation? This is our department head, Vanessa Zopek.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, CEO Robinson, and Mr. Doering. I'm Vanessa Zopek, your county librarian. We're here today to celebrate National Library Week and the importance of libraries in our community. Librarians are highly trained professionals working in many kinds of libraries. They are expert at helping others find information. Joining me this morning are two specialized librarians, Janice Milliken, our county law librarian, and Eve Melton, Kaiser Permanente librarian. Thank you. Did you know that Americans go to school, public, and academic libraries 50% more often than they go to the movies? Did you know that there are more public libraries in the United States than there are McDonald's restaurants? Yes, a total of 16,549. We have them outnumbered. Did you know that reference librarians in the nation's public and academic libraries answer more than 7.2 million questions weekly? If they were standing single file, the questioners would stretch from Modesto all the way to Toronto, Canada. Did you know that activities such as reading help keep your brain active and healthy, which reduces your risk of Alzheimer's disease later in life? Think about that one while you can. Here in Stanislaus County, 11,000 people were served by the law library, 50% of whom were not attorneys. Last year, 2.2 million items were checked out at our 13 county libraries. Preschool story time was offered 1,161 times. That's throughout the county, with an attendance of more than 40,000. Each week, 106 adult learners meet at the library with their literacy tutors, who are volunteers, and these people are there to improve their literacy skills through our Reading Works literacy program. Libraries of all kinds are a great American institution and a necessary resource that add value to our communities. In Stanislaus County, they serve the needs of residents with print and electronic resources and with friendly, knowledgeable, and helpful staff. So this board's been very wise in its recognition and importance of libraries. Thank you. And thank you for joining us in celebrating National Library Week.
Okay, Vanessa, I have a certificate resolution from the board to present to you. Okay, in the recognition of Library Week, I have a resolution from the board. I won't read through the whole thing, but I'll read the bottom where it's resolved. Therefore, be it resolved that the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby unanimously proclaim April 12th through the 18th, 2009, as National Library Week in Stanislaus County, and urges everyone to visit the libraries and thank the librarian for making this a unique and wonderful institution possible. So thank you for everything that you've done. You have a great library system here, and I know there's a story time that you give and increasing literacy for Stanislaus County. That's so you do a great job. Do you know I have a brother-in-law who's a librarian in Radford, Virginia?
Oh, wonderful. So what kind?
He's research. Research librarian for the university.
Takes all kinds of librarians.
How about saying a few words to our audience?
Thank you for this recognition. We so appreciate it, and we so appreciate the work that the librarians put in throughout the entire county, not just our public library system. I want to urge everyone, visit your library, use it, save money, and read and learn and dream. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Vanessa. Next, we will have a recognition of the 100th anniversary of the Stanislaus County Probation Department by Department Head Jerry Powers.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Jerry Powers, Chief Probation Officer. It truly is my pleasure to appear before you today to acknowledge the department's 100th birthday. The actual birthday is tomorrow, April 15th. 100 years ago tomorrow, the probation department was established. 100 years is certainly a long time. We like to recognize individuals for 100 years of living and certainly organizations for 100 years of existence. And I was thinking on the drive over, what's an appropriate gift for 100 years of existence? And I was thinking that maybe no budget cuts next year or something like that would be really perfect for that. I'll let you guys think about that during my presentation. Also thought, well, what do you do for 100 years, for a birthday? What is it you do? And you typically, you sing happy birthday or something like that to celebrate the occasion. And I was thinking about, okay, we could sing happy birthday to the department, but you really want it to be something special. Kind of like if you think back, for many of us, we can probably remember it. There are probably a few in here who can't. If you recall, when President Kennedy got a birthday song from Marilyn Monroe, it was very, very noteworthy. And so I was thinking, who could sing happy birthday to the probation department today in recognition of 100 years? Mr. Robinson. And, you know, that might be good. It's not quite Marilyn Monroe, so.
There goes those budget cuts. Yeah.
maybe Patty Hill Thomas. She's very bubbly and festive all the time. She could do it. And I thought, no, that's probably too much to ask of Patty. And our district attorney, Ms. Flatiger, I think that would be a wonderful thing if she did it. And she's blonde, just as Marilyn Monroe was. So, and then I was thinking in the back, and actually I had a volunteer who said he'd be willing to sing happy birthday to the department all by himself, as a matter of fact. And it was Sheriff Christensen. So after I finish, I'm sure he'll be quick to the podium to sing the song. In March of 1903, the state of California enacted statutes that allowed counties to establish probation departments. The Stanislaus County Probation Department was founded on April 15th of 1909. Judge Fulkerth appointed 7 members of what was then called the Probation Board. On April 15th of 1909, they were L.L. Dennett, Thomas Downey, J.W. Ross, Dr. Searing, Theodore Turner, L.J. Maddox, and H.M. Briggs. They were sworn into office on April 19th of 1909, and they subsequently on that same day appointed H.K. Pittman as the first probation officer in the county. He was provided a salary for his part-time employment of $35 per month. Woefully underpaid, I might add. During the 100-year history, the department has had 13 chief probation officers, with the longest tenured being C.H. Raymond, who served from 1913 to 1938. My math says about 25 years. I assure you that is a record that is safe going forward. In 1914, Mr. Raymond reported that there was one juvenile on probation for the year, and in 1915, that number grew to five juveniles being on probation. Coincidentally, all five of them were from the same family. By 1922, that number had grown to 62. I have a note in the file of the probation officer from 1922. This, by the way, is a file, an actual file from the probation department, the annual report on juveniles from on December 31st, 1922, and this was filed by Mr. Raymond. And in this file, he has the name and the disposition of every individual in the county who was on probation. Many of you probably have relatives who are in here. Of particular note, though, when you look at the juveniles, he has a status report on each and every juvenile that was on probation in the county at this time. And there were two, as I was reading, that kind of stuck out to me, give you kind of an indication of the times. One was for an individual by the name of Merle Cox. He was admitted to probation in 1919, and it says, boy did fairly well until present year, when on November 1922 he assisted in stealing a car, taken up on new petition. Some things don't change if you read the B today. The second entry on here talks about a Clarence Hagstrom. He was admitted to probation during 1920, and it says, given no special trouble, though associated with others, in trouble in Japanese matters. Given the times, I suspect that that was probably an issue for him. It says, trouble adjusted before Superior Court, age 19 years, on April 6th of 1922. There is an entry for each juvenile in there, and most of them say that the juveniles did well. Also in that file is a letter addressed to the Sonoma County probation officer, dated October of 1921. Mr. Raymond, the chief at the time, reported that the total cost of maintaining the county probation office was a grand total of $3,576.38. Of this amount, $1,800 was for his salary and $900 was for his assistant's salary. So nearly half was for the salary of the probation officers.
Is that a request from?
No. Adjusted for inflation, it could be. I'll have to do the math, though. In 1922, Mr. Raymond emphasized to the county that there was a dire need for a juvenile detention home in which to incarcerate the boy or girl instead of in the county jail. So again, some things don't change. In 1923, the Board of Supervisors awarded a contract for $24,000 to George Ulrich to build this home. It was constructed at 810 Scenic Drive and was built as a combined probation and welfare office with the juvenile detention home on the second floor. Mrs. V.D. Whitmore was hired as the assistant probation officer and matron of the home. Individuals conducting business at this combined office were treated to a family affair. As if you had business in the probation office, when you entered the building, you went to the left and you saw Mr. Raymond. If you had business with the welfare department, when you entered the building, you went to the right and you saw Mrs. Raymond. In 1938, the new county juvenile hall was built at 949 Oakdale Road. It had a capacity for 28 kids. In 1938, the probation department budget had grown to $14,000, $6,000 to operate the juvenile hall, and $8,000 for the probation department. And no, that's not a request. Staffing consisted of seven staff, including a cook and a janitor-gardener. The caseloads had grown to 209 boys and girls, many of whom were on probation for being, quote, in danger of leading an immoral life. There were 228 adults on probation, all but 10 were males, and many of these were on for drunk driving or theft. Skip forward to 1961. E. Ross Clark was sworn in as the department's eighth chief, and he served until 1972. Department staffing in 1961 was 27. From 1961 until 1972, the department relocated from 701 Scenic Drive to its old, now newly remodeled home at 810 Scenic Drive, and then relocated again to 1030 Scenic Drive at the corner of Oakdale and Scenic Drive. When Chief Clark retired, the department had grown from 27 to 96 staff with an annual budget of approximately $1.5 million. The department had over 1,000 adults on probation and 750 juveniles reported to the department. On February 14th of 1978, the Juvenile Justice Building and Juvenile Hall was dedicated on Blue Gum Avenue that we currently occupy. The budget for the entire project, including the courtrooms, was $3.4 million. The Juvenile Hall was built with a capacity of 80 beds. In 1985, Chief Dale Graver retired after 12 years of leading the department. The department at that point had grown to 127 employees and had a budget of $4.9 million. The department was supervising 2,000 adults and 645 juveniles, and Juvenile Hall had over 2,000 juveniles booked into the facility in 1985. Interestingly enough, we still have about 2,000 juveniles booked a year. In 1985, Bob Norm would take over the department and lead it through some of its most difficult financial times. Caseloads were exploding and staffing was stagnant and in some instances decreasing. In 1992, layoff notices were given and the capacity at Juvenile Hall was reduced from 80 to 60 beds and many positions were left vacant. There were 6,000 adults on probation and 1,300 juveniles. In 1998, as Chief Norm retired, the department received funding for construction of a new 30-bed addition to the Juvenile Hall, and staffing had begun to recover from the financial difficulties of the early 90s. The department had grown to 168 positions. In 2000, the Juvenile Hall was expanded to 118 beds and expanded again in 2002 to 158 beds, which is its current capacity. The department was able to receive state funding for additional positions and began to expand into providing additional supervision to adult offenders and expanded its operations to emphasize more intensive community-based supervision as well as collaboration with local law enforcement and community agencies. Today we have a department that's over 250 staff with a budget of over $25 million. We're once again being challenged with fiscal reductions. As we've done for the last 100 years, and I'm certain we will do for the next 100, we will rise to the challenge and we will continue to provide our county's citizens the best services in the profession administered by the best personnel in the state. The department has certainly grown up in its first 100 years, and I believe we're just hitting our prime. We're also a department that remembers its roots from the first probation officer in this county and his commitment to rehabilitation to the first ever probation officer, a Boston bootmaker named John Augustus, who in 1841 founded probation by taking in inebriates based on the belief that structure and opportunity would take these inebriates from the dregs and outcasts of society to productive citizens. Truly a noble goal and still the underlying foundation upon which the department pursues public safety and accountability today. It is certainly my honor to be the chief of the probation department as it celebrates its 100th birthday, as well as my honor to lead the members of the department as we begin our second 100 years. I would close by saying, for those in the audience and those out in our television audience, that the department will have an open house on April 25th from 10 till 2, in which we will highlight many of our accomplishments and the services that we provide to the community and that our partners provide to the community. Lastly, I would say that to receive the proclamation today from Chairman DeMartini will be our president of our Probation Officers Association, Supervising Probation Officer Steve Jackson.
Hey, thank you for your report, Chief. That was very good. I have a resolution from the Board of Supervisors commemorating your 100th year anniversary. Well, it looks like that department has changed a lot from a one officer at $35 a month to a budget now of more than $2 million a month and about 250 employees. I know a couple of weeks ago, Supervisor Chiesa and I went out on patrol with you, which I always find pretty interesting. And this time we went out with your dog, Bear. So anyway, I know we appreciate the good work that you've done. I believe what the chief you said it was the kids were in danger of leading an immoral life or
yes.
something.
Yes.
Boy, that you've expanded the definition there, because what I've seen was drugs and gangs and some real criminal behavior. And the one person that I will never forget was the guy that was growing marijuana in the backyard. Was the probation department came for a check. So that is actually one of my favorite pictures. I was going to use it in my campaign, but I decided not to. So let me present you with this resolution of the board for 100 years of great service. We look forward to your next 100 years. Would you like to say something to our audience?
Well, you probably don't remember, but that was you and I in that picture with the marijuana. Anyways, on the behalf of the probation department, I'd just like to thank the board for the resolution and for the recognition of our service to the community. Thank you.
And don't forget that open house that's coming up next Saturday, the 25th.
Mr. Chairman, lastly, I would like to ask all the members of the probation department to stand up in the audience that came today to celebrate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, we had two terrific presentations today. Okay, now we will move to a public comment period. For those people who would like to address this board on any item that is not on the agenda. I have two requests to speak today. The first one from Robert Stanford. Stafford, I guess. I always call you Stanford, but it's Stafford.
You'll get it after a while. Morning, gentlemen. I know I've been here a few times talking about the same thing. I just don't know what else to do. I was out at Mono Park, where I was telling you about the needle giveaway last Saturday from about 2:45 till, I don't know, 3:30, 3:45. And it's just getting worse. More people are showing up. I did talk to, I don't know what you call it, the perpetrator or the individual that seems primarily responsible. He came over me and, you know, why am I so upset? Why do I have what's my big concern here? The first thing I told him, I said, well, this is illegal. And he said, I know it's illegal, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm an anarchist. He said, well, I'm not an anarchist. And I'm pushing to have you shut down and, you know, put away or whatever. You know, he's still very candid. He says that he gets the needles from the new Fresno needle exchange. I don't know if this is true. This is what he tells me. From the new Fresno needle exchange and also the same needle exchange that they have sanctioned in Sacramento. Now, while I'm sitting there, after this, 10 feet away from me, there's a gentleman in his late 60s, early 70s, his fire and his spoon, and he shoots up right there, 10 feet from me. 10 feet from him, two people are standing up, shooting up right there. Now, from watching these, I've tried to do estimates conservatively on the number of new needles that we have coming into the community from this operation, and my estimates is between 800 to 1,000 needles. Now, the perpetrator, or whatever you want to call him, he says he's also going door to door. I heard a rumor that they were out at MJC at the Hispanic function distributing needles. I talked to the head of the human services there, and she said, no, that's slanderous. No, they're not doing that. They're just giving out information. According to the perpetrator, he says the information they were giving out was where to go to get needles. I don't know. I see what appears to be minors there. When you show up there, nobody really, I see one or two needles maybe come in. I'm a little far away from it. I'm sitting on a bench on the side, but I can still see what's going on. And the perpetrator himself admitted to me that he's having a problem with people returning the 20 syringes he gives them every couple of weeks. A guy came up to me. He's got, you know, tattoos. Looks like he's done time. I don't know. Who am I to make judgments, you know? Asked me if I can go up and give him another 20 because he needs some more because people are coming to him for needles. I'll tell you, what happens to these needles is they still get shared. The person, I'm absolutely positive, the perpetrator admitted that so few are coming back in. They'll get the 20 needles, they'll use one, share it, sell the rest. And this just adds to our, I don't know what you want to call it, a cartel, but it just exacerbates the problem exponentially. And now we're well into our third month, 800 to 1,000 needles. That number, I'm sure, is rising. So, you know, maybe I'm at a loss here. Maybe, you know, this whole thing is actually legal. There's really nothing we can do about it. I haven't looked that hard. I intend to, but I got a lot on my plate. You know, but maybe there's really no standing ordinance. Maybe there is no law making this illegal. I know that it's been said illegal. I've said it myself. You know, and I understand there's some sort of investigation, but I was born at night, but not last night. I know that this was going on in Sherwood Park. It wouldn't go on very long, not every 2 weeks, like clockwork, every single time, with the numbers just growing of people coming for their free syringes. So, what are we going to do? Do I need to start writing to my congressman?
Go ahead.
One day I went out there, and just so the audience knows, I did go out to the park, and Robert and I went and witnessed it. But to let you know, the sheriff has been investigating it, and they did cite two people on Saturday and confiscate the needles. Maybe it was after that. I'm not sure exactly when they did it, but they did take enforcement action, as again, because of what you brought to our attention. So it is illegal. They know it, and they're dealing with it. And again, I appreciate your comments as to what's going on, and they're doing everything they can, Robert.
Right. I mean, just, you know, just to sum up, it makes it very difficult because I can't bring any groups out there. It just about ties my hands. These people need to be in recovery. There was just a man who was caught with three little sacks of heroin or whatever, and he got years for that. Just, you know, to sum it up, if I were to see a teenage girl laying in the gutter with a needle in her arm, the first thing that comes to my mind isn't freedom of choice. I mean, how tempting does that sound to you? It's a slippery slope. These people are sick. They need help. They need the community to help them. Maybe some of them we can never help. But I just, you know, I've worked very hard out there in the airport district, 5 years now. You know, and I just wish that, you know, just wish this wasn't happening, I guess. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Yeah, and I understand the Sheriff's Department understands the problem. They are dealing with it. And it is an ongoing investigation. So,
thank you.
Hey, thank you for your comments. Did you want to address anything, Sheriff? Or is this, it's up to you if you do, because I know that you did make some arrests within the last day or two.
Well, first of all, let me start off by saying I really do appreciate Mr. Stanford's passion for the community and especially the airport district. When we were initially notified that this activity was going on, we started an undercover investigation, including the sheriff's sting team, and we've been looking at this now for several weeks. Unfortunately, in order to determine where all of these needles are coming from outside of the community, it takes quite a bit of work. And it certainly takes time. But to Mr. Stanford's credit, he did bring this to our attention. We did act upon it immediately, and last Saturday we made two arrests, seized all of their needles, as well as other evidence of narcotics abuse. So we will continue to work in Mono Park so that families and children can enjoy that park and not the drug dealers and the anarchists who believe that this type of activity is legal because it's not, and we will take the appropriate action. Any questions?
No, I just want to thank you for your attention to this matter.
You're welcome.
Hey, thank you, Sheriff. We have another request to speak from a Deborah Harper.
Good morning. My name is Deborah Harper, and I reside in Modesto, California. I didn't plan this again, so I'm nervous as heck, but God knows, so just prayers. To protect the integrity of the National Library Week, I just pray that people that pray, that start praying for this situation. I was here during a meeting, during the last meeting I was here at, they were talking about aggregate mining on the Welch property. I believe Ms. Welch was speaking, if not Jerry Powers himself. The very minute I was emailed, another fabricated, falsely accused information. I've been suspended from the law library a second time for no reason, and fabricated and false information. There is no integrity in the management of our libraries. I watch you celebrate this while they are lying through their teeth, respectively, to prevent me from educating myself to improve my situation, which is very oppressive at this moment. Okay? I won't go into the gory details in front of God and everybody. It's been documented. But I need to know at this point, because I have approached or have filed claims, but as it turns out, there's pretty much a conflict of interest. And this question is for Mr. Doering. If a person has a conflict of interest with almost every individual on the board, who do they file a claim with, respectively? I mean, nobody's claimed conflicts, but I have researched and found them. So my filing claim after claim and being denied has just been a moot point. Who would I go to next?
Mr. Doering?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I can answer that. You should probably contact a local attorney to assist you in this matter, who can help you ferret through the applicable laws and help you make decisions as appropriate to your particular circumstances.
Okay, I'm indigent, so I'm working on my own, which is one of the reasons why I could go to the law library and the public library. There's a tremendous amount of resources and computer access. They even offer free copies when you print. Do you know of any?
You can contact the local Stanislaus County Bar Association, and they have a lawyer referral service that may be able to connect you with an attorney who might be able to help you pro bono or at a reduced cost.
Okay, thank you, sir. I say this prayerfully because I do love this community very much, and it has grown immensely, but there are still some glitches that are being worked on. And I just pray that those of you who pray for this community in those glitches, because it is not something that can go on hold any further. God bless.
Hey, thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this board on any item that is not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will move to the consent calendar. Does any member of this board wish to pull an item from the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion. A motion's been made by Supervisor Monteith and seconded by Supervisor Chiesa to approve the consent calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried. 5-0. Okay, now we will move to our scheduled matters. The 9:15 scheduled matter, a public hearing to go over the emergency shelter grant.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Kirk Ford, your community planning and community development director, and with me is Aaron Farnan, our community development manager. And what you have before you this morning is our annual action plan for the community development block grant program. And Aaron's going to go over the details of that. It includes the emergency shelter grants as well.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board. Mr. Robinson, this morning we have the annual action plan for 2009-2010. It's community development block grant funds that are federally allocated under an entitlement allocation. They have to focus on three main areas: directly benefit the low and moderate income population, help prevent or eliminate slum or blighting conditions, and as an example, in 1997, the flood, if there's something that's an urgent community need, they can be designated for those type of activities as well. We partner with five cities: Ceres, Newman, Oakdale, Patterson, and Waterford, as well as the unincorporated areas of Stanislaus County. We're projecting approximate allocation similar to the last year, within less than a percent difference, approximately just under $2.5 million and just under $110,000 for ESG or emergency shelter grants. Staff recommends an allocation approximately 10% of the money for public services. There's a federal mandate for fair housing activities, set aside approximately $40,000 for that, as well as economic development activities, which is a technology training program, which I'll mention in a bit, as well as a revitalization strategy. The remaining balance is distributed to projects throughout the consortium based on poverty and population criteria. Based on that criteria, it's broken up amongst unincorporated areas as well as the five participating cities, as you'll see there, averaging about $250,000 per locality, and the remainder going to Stanislaus County unincorporated areas. Under the emergency shelter grant program, it's required to be broken up into four categories: renovation, rehab of a homeless facility, homeless prevention activities, which is a voucher program to prevent families or individuals from becoming homeless for about 7 to 10 days worth of assistance, essential services, which is staffing of those facilities, as well as operational costs, which is approximately 10% of that allocation. We're allowed to set aside up to 5% for administration of those funds. If you have nearsightedness, sorry about this one, but we had to try to fit them all in here. This is the recommendation for public services, and those recommendations vary from youth services to families, disabled populations, senior populations, food banks, and housing programs. Under the ESG program, there's four recommendations for funding. Those assist those that are homeless due to domestic violence, children, as well as families and single mothers, homeless prevention activities to prevent families and individuals from becoming homeless, and services relating to families, children, and single adults for actual homeless shelters. We're also recommending setting aside $20,000 for revitalization strategies, which will be incorporated in 2011-2012 fiscal year. It's a strategy to help create jobs, encourage housing development within the unincorporated areas, as well as public service type programs to assist those communities. This strategy, we need to set aside the funds to help get a consultant to figure out the boundaries, demographic criteria, economic activities that are recommended for that area, as well as developing performance measurements to make sure the funds are used appropriately. For the county unincorporated areas, we have a project, the Empire Storm Drainage Infrastructure Project. We will be completing the engineering design phase during the first quarter of this fiscal year, as well as completing phase one of construction of the storm drainage project in Empire. It will either be near the school in Empire or south of Yosemite, and we'll find out for sure when the engineering design is complete. Another program that we're expanding this year is the technology training program, and this year we're expanding out into Patterson. We currently offer the program in Newman and Oakdale, as well as various unincorporated areas, which include Keys and Denair and Shackford and the airport neighborhood. This allows those individuals that attend these classes to get capacity to be able to enter the workforce, Excel programs, Word programs, that type of nature. And today at staff, we recommend the items 1 through 6, which includes today conducting a public hearing, as well as recommendation for approval of the 09-10 Annual Action Plan, which includes approximately $2.4 million in CDBG funds, as well as just under $110,000 in ESG funds, with a total approximate total of just over $2.5 million. If there's any questions, I'm available.
there any questions of staff? Okay, seeing none, this is a public hearing. We'll open the public hearing. Anyone from the audience who wishes to address this board on this item, please come forward and state your name for the record. Okay. Okay, seeing none, close the public hearing and bring it back to the board for action.
I'll move approval of the six staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, motions made by Supervisor Grover and seconded by Supervisor O'Brien to approve the six staff recommendations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your report. We have a 9:20 hearing to consider the formation of the North McHenry number 2 lighting district. The staff report.
Good morning, gentlemen. Chairman DeMartini, Board of Supervisors, CEO Robinson, and Council Doring. My name is Danny Ferreira, and I am with the Stanislaus County Public Works Department. As just stated, this public hearing is for the North McHenry Lighting District number 2, which is a requirement set forth in the conditions of approval, parcel map 2004-30. This required ballot procedure for the North McHenry Lighting District number 2 is in complete compliance with Proposition 218. The deadline to change a ballot is at the end of the public hearing, so if the owner of the sole parcel listed in the report is here today and wants to change a ballot, please proceed immediately to the table in the back and a public works representative will assist you. At this time, I ask the board if they have any questions in regard to this formation.
Any questions of staff? Okay, seeing none. This is a public hearing, so we will open the public hearing. Anyone who wants to address this board on this matter, please come to the podium, state your name for the record. Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing. And I guess the clerk of the board will open the ballots. This is your last chance to change your ballot, so close the public hearing. I believe I'm told we only have one ballot, so we shouldn't take too long to tally it up.
The ballot is marked in support, so it does pass.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we will now bring it back to the board for action. Comments from the board? Motion?
Motion to approve. Second.
A motion's been made to approve the staff recommendations, I assume 1-4. Okay, seconded by Supervisor Monteith. Further comment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. Okay, we will move to item B12. Approval to submit and accept award for the 2009 Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Grant application from the Bureau of Justice. Sheriff Christensen.
Good morning, members of the board, Chairman DeMartini, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring, Adam Christensen, your sheriff. Just to talk briefly about some of our efforts in pursuing stimulus money from the federal government in an attempt to close our budgetary deficit and essentially keep deputy sheriffs working. That's our goal right now, faced with the challenges of declining revenue. We've made a commitment at the Sheriff's Department to do everything we can to keep our frontline levels of staffing, both in patrol and adult detention, at their current levels so that we can effectively protect the community. I certainly want you to know, as well as everybody in Stanislaus County, that irregardless of our budgetary challenges, we're going to do our very best to provide an effective, efficient level of service in the community and do everything we can to protect our families and children. Of course, the item before you today is the Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant. This is one of several grants that we've applied for. We've also applied for COPS money, and we've applied for rural crimes funding, and we're also making application for several grants in our narcotics suppression unit And but in this particular case, this is a collaborative effort between the county and the city of Modesto. We offered to be the fiduciary for this particular grant and minimize our administrative costs and hopefully push more of that money out to frontline positions. So if you look at page 3 under the discussion item, there's a breakdown of how we decided to allocate this particular amount of money, which is based upon population as well as crime statistics. So because the unincorporated areas, the area of the county that we're responsible for has a smaller population base than the city of Modesto, and even though there doesn't seem to be an incentive to do a good job, our Part 1 crimes are down 26%, we get a little bit less money than the city of Modesto does. So in total, it's just over $1 million. There's about $413,000 coming to the county. And I then sat down with Jerry Powers, the chief probation officer, and Birgit Flatiger, our district attorney, and we decided amongst the three of us how to allocate this funding. That's the recommendation to you today. And as you can see, we decided just to keep half of the funding we needed to keep a school resource officer in the Tuolumne Elementary School. And other than the administrative fee, we pushed the rest of that money to the district attorney's office and to probation to help them keep people working as well, their frontline prosecutors and probation deputies. So that is the recommendation before you today, and I would ask that you support our efforts in continuing to protect the community.
There are questions of the sheriff. Doesn't appear to be, Sheriff. I think it is unusual that the Modesto Police Department gets more than the county district attorney, sheriff's department, probation department combined, because you know when a police department makes an arrest, they're pretty much done with the case. We've got to prosecute them to the district attorney. Sometimes we have the public defender has to defend them. You may have to incarcerate them at great cost, and then the probation department has to follow them around for a few years. I thought that was odd that they would get so much more than us.
It does seem a bit inequitable, but the funding formula in this particular grant, again, is based on population and crime rates. And, again, our population base is less than that of the city of Modesto as far as jurisdiction, and, there's apparently no incentive for doing a good job in public safety when you have to report that your Part 1 crimes are down 26%, which is a great thing. Even our auto theft rates are down, but we're still number one. So it's a challenge that we won't give up on, and we'll continue to utilize the resources we have in protecting the community.
Yeah, at one time I thought that the Burns JAG grants were going to be for also include high-tech crimes unit and equipment and training, but apparently that's not the case that I see.
Not in this go-around, but I know how passionate you are. I appreciate that, and we'll continue to work on funding for that area of law enforcement as well.
Okay. Further questions of the sheriff? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I think there's two other of my colleagues who would like to briefly address the board.
Okay. I didn't see that on the report, so. Sorry, I didn't mean to leave out the probation department, the district attorney.
I haven't had quite enough mic time today. So, no, I just want to thank the sheriff for his leadership on this and his willingness to look at the total picture, the big picture, and this is a team sport that we're involved in here. And certainly for my department, the $170,000 that we will receive from this will essentially fund two probation officers, one of which will be used for domestic violence cases, which are certainly very important to our citizens. So we are very grateful for the money. We appreciate the leadership and the willingness of the sheriff to, even though he's getting a smaller portion of the money, to be the fiduciary and put the effort in and putting the application together. So on behalf of me and my staff, we certainly are grateful for the funding that we've gotten on this.
Good morning, gentlemen. Birgit Flatiger, District Attorney. Just very briefly, I echo what Jerry Powers has said. The three of us work very well together to ensure safety of all of our citizens throughout the county. We're facing tough times, and the fact that when money does come in, we can essentially share it and say, you know what, each one of us provides a service that is really critical. And if one of us is unable to do the job as well as we can, then it truly impacts the others as well. I think the fact that we work that well together is demonstrated by this. I'm grateful to the sheriff, and I hope that the board votes on it as indicated. Thank you.
Thank you, Birgit. Mr. Robinson.
Yes, I did want to point out something that both Birgit and Jerry spoke briefly to, but I need to underscore it, if I may, and that is that the allocation formula that was agreed to by the sheriff, chief probation officer, and district attorney was agreed to because the sheriff recognized the value of the partnership and actually stepped out of his way to make this partnership work for all parties. And I sincerely appreciate his work and his leadership in bringing this together. So thank you very much.
Comments from the board?
No comments, but I'll move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
A motion is made for approval by Supervisor Grover, seconded by Supervisor O'Brien. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carried 5-0. We will now go to item B14, consideration of the fiscal year 2007-08 library annual report. Vanessa, you're back in front of the board again. This is your lucky day.
Well, you can't have too much library. So once again, good morning, Chairman DeMartini, supervisors, staff, members of the public. I'm Vanessa Zopak, your county librarian, here this morning with Sheridan Buving, who's chair of the Library Advisory Board. We're going to provide you with the Stanislaus County Library's annual report for fiscal year 07-08. As you know, the library is supported, for the most part, by a 1/8 of a cent dedicated sales tax. Before this tax went into effect in 1995, the library faced dire economic challenges similar to those that it faces today. This 1/8 of a cent tax has been approved by the voters 3 times. And thanks to the tax, we've been able to accomplish so much to benefit the public. The tax provides for basic library operations. Unfortunately, it does not generate enough revenue for expansion of services and facilities. So now I'd like you to meet Sheridan Buving, chair of the Library Advisory Board.
Good morning, gentlemen. Pleased to be able to come before you this morning. My name is Sheridan Buving. I am the chairman of the Stanislaus County Library Advisory Board Committee. I'm a native Modestrian. And I can remember in high school back in the 60s at Thomas Downey, we would go to the McHenry Library, and that back in those days was a shh library. Well, that's changed. The Stanislaus County Library is alive, it's vibrant, and it's a breathing enterprise. It's not a quiet place. It's a very busy place. Our library's focus is always on the future, always embracing new technology to bring to our constituency, our citizens of Stanislaus County, and our cardholders. The library, just to mention a few of the things that Vanessa's already had mentioned earlier, we have a broad base of services, and one of the ones that we're particularly proud of is to our adults, our literacy center. The nice thing about that is we have the ability to work with adults in our community who can't read or write or spell. We have an opportunity to sit with them. We have a volunteers of over 115 that sit down with them on a one-on-one basis to help them with those areas. And so we have career searches that go on with our young and old alike. It's probably been never utilized more than until now. I saw an article in the paper even a couple, 3 weeks ago where a gentleman had gone down to the board, to the employment agency and trying to find a job. But after he was done there, he would go to the library and go online. Career searches is important, but children's story time. Vanessa talked about that earlier. In our budget year of 2007-2008, we reached over 10,000 children. And during that time, I guess the total count was 40,346, ages 3 until 6, and that represented 1,116 story times. The summer reading program, which is a very vital part, and we reach out to kids and children, teenagers, and that represented about 7,000 children and 28,000 hours of volunteer time to those children. Computer classes, now that's available in all of our 13 branches. There's a tremendous amount of classes that are available. Even my agents and my real estate brokerage have participated in those classes to become more proficient online. Internet access, of course, we have the library computers, and we have that at home. But the neat thing about it, it's a reference point. It's on 24/7, and people can access that library through our website. The other thing we're proud of is our home delivery service. And for those who are homebound, last year we delivered over 2,660 books to those individuals who could not come in to our library. So our library is not an option. It's really a necessity for our community. Benefits to the library, some of them are just mentioned. It really does level the playing field. It really makes a difference in people's lives. We're an immigrant nation. We're an immigrant county. I know my father came from Holland when he was 2 years old, but we meet all races and creeds and colors and nationalities. They're all served in our 13 branches throughout our county. And there again, neat thing about it, our library is never closed. They always have access to the library through the internet. It really is a learning place. As a library advisory board, we're always impressed with staff looking for new ways to improve services. Through technology, they instilled a self-sign-up system for better delivery of holds and book orders, material, and books that are overdue. We can contact these people. It saves the staff time and staff time. And there again, chatting with a librarian 24/7. If you can't talk to a librarian in California, you can talk to a librarian in some other part of the United States. Always available for our community. As a chairman of the Library Advisory Board Committee, we're real proud to work with Vanessa. We find her doing an outstanding job, and the thing we like about Vanessa is she's always open to input from our committee. We meet once a month. There's representative of our entire Stanislaus County on that because she wants to make a difference in people's lives, and she puts those dollars to work where they're most beneficial to our community. I know she was sharing with me a couple of weeks ago in the back of the book storage area of our library, those walls haven't seen a can of paint in 30 years. But so she takes those dollars and spends them where they're supposed to be spent. So we feel that she's really an asset to our community. You have the 2007-2000 annual report in front of you. Just a couple of highlights for our listening audience or watching audience. We serve a population of over 525,000 people. Cards issued in 2006 represented 25,091. That is a lot of people. Items checked out, as Vanessa said earlier, 2,302,778 went through our portals of our doors. Computer sessions, 264,303. You can see that your library is working hard for your community. Value of the community, thanks to our citizens, as was shared earlier again, just not to be too redundant, but our citizens approved again 1/8% cent sales tax three times. And 84% of our library revenue comes from that sales tax. And those sales tax are earmarked. They stay with our library. And last year, that represented about $8.4 million. Which really averages out to be about $1.66 a month, or about $20 annually. A very small investment per household in our county. And the Stanislaus County is a unique place. And the important thing is that when we buy products in our county, it's really important for the citizens, when they can, to buy in Stanislaus County. Because especially those large ticket items, we have cars and furniture and electronics, those sales tax dollars stay in our county. Now, the current tax sunset is going to be in 2013. Your Library Advisory Board Committee is currently and is studying funding models, and we'll be reporting back to you at a later time on that. But it is the economic engine for our community. Every $1 spent on the library, $4 goes back into the community. The library helps people develop skills and, of course, search for jobs. And we want to continue to do that in our county. So in closing, your library is a learning place. It's a family place. It's a partner in our community. It's alive, it's vibrant, and it's an absolute necessity. Thank you very much.
Also, I'd just like you to know how proud I am of the dedication and commitment shown by our staff to excellent customer service and to meeting the needs and expectations of our community. Thank you for this opportunity to report to you and our citizens about the library. We'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Hey, thank you, Vanessa. Supervisor Chiesa.
Hi, Vanessa. Hey, in your handout, it talks about the increases in population served library cards, and that we cut the hours last year, right?
It's this fiscal year, actually.
This fiscal year. So coupled with the fact that we're closed a seventh of the time, there was a greater need?
That was not in that previous fiscal year report. That's the fiscal year we're in now, 08-09.
08-09. Oh, is when you cut back the hours?
Yeah, that's when we cut back.
Okay,
yeah.
I see.
Unfortunately.
How is that tracking? And
we're still pretty much as busy as we were the previous fiscal year. So
and I figured
I think
the need's
gone up.
So I guess you should be commended. I would imagine next year, as the economy goes south, that there'll be a greater and greater need from the library system. So thank you.
Hey, Mr. Robinson.
I'm just curious, Vanessa, are any of our library sites Wi-Fi hotspots?
All of our library sites are Wi-Fi hotspots. Yes.
Good. Thank you.
And the public's very happy about that. We got a lot of comments, and we were able to implement that the current fiscal year that we're in.
Great. Thank you.
If someone were to wish to volunteer for the library, who would they contact?
They can call 558-7800, or they can go online and ask the question, and we will put them in touch with whomever department they're interested in. So if they're interested in doing home delivery, we will put them in touch with Beth, who coordinates home delivery. If they're interested in helping out in circulation or helping out children's department, we'll put them in touch with those people as well.
Okay, I just wanted to bring that up because we need to stretch our dollars as much as we can, and
yes,
volunteers do a great benefit to the library. And
I agree, and we are having a volunteer appreciation luncheon this Saturday, actually, to recognize our volunteers and the many, many hours that they put into supporting our library.
Okay, why don't you tell us more about that?
I
went to it the last couple of years.
Yes, you have. We do this annually. We have so many volunteers in the library. They help out in reference doing backroom jobs. They help out with home delivery, as I said. We have volunteers in the literacy program. We have eight Friends of the Library groups, and we consider them volunteers. Also, we have a library advisory board. We consider them volunteers. I know they're appointed by you, but we consider them volunteers. And also we have a library foundation, and all these people are recognized at the volunteer appreciation luncheon. The library foundation gives shining star awards to those people who have been outstanding volunteers. And is that run in the paper? I don't remember. Yes. I have to read more. I didn't remember that. Anyway, so we do this annually, and we really do appreciate the volunteers and all the time and all the effort that they donate to the library. It's a worthy cause, and it benefits everyone in the community.
Thank you. Further questions of our department head? Okay, seeing none, thank you for your report. Is there a motion from the board to accept this report?
So moved. Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Supervisor Monteith, seconded by Supervisor Grover to accept the annual report of the library for 2007-2008. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0.
Thank you
for your report.
Thank you.
We will now move to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Fresno County Supervisor, Phil Larson, regarding the California March for Water on April 14th through 17th, 2009.
Refer to the Agricultural Commissioner, Sealer of Weights and Measures, and the Cooperative Extension.
This board has received a letter from NI Industries, Inc., a TriMass company, regarding their plans to lay off 22 employees on May 29, 2009, at its facility at 5300 Claus Road in Riverbank, per the Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act.
Refer the Alliance WorkNet and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a copy of the projected budget, fee, and presentation schedules for fiscal year 2009-10 for the Gallo Center for the Arts.
Refer the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Okay, seeing none, Mr. Robinson, we will have the Legislative and Fiscal Management report.
Yes, the first item I'd like to discuss is an action item, and it is a request for adoption of a resolution that would support passage of SB 295. SB 295 would adjust the timetable for implementation of AB 32, which is the Global Warming Solutions Act. Agencies throughout the state of California are very concerned that AB 32's implementation schedule does not provide an adequate time for the state to conduct its financial due diligence, which are required by law, and very, very important in order to understand the implications and the impacts of the implementation of the requirements under AB 32. The California Air Resources Board's scoping plan makes it clear that local government is going to be an essential partner in reducing carbon emissions. As a public agency, we simply want to make sure that all of the facts are clearly understood prior to the implementation, the facts relating to the financial impacts to the participating agencies. So it would be my request of you that that you do adopt the resolution supporting the passage of SB 295.
Any comments from the board? Well, my comment, I just can hardly help from saying anything. The state of California has given no regard to the cost of AB 32 or its importance. I still have a considerable disagreement whether mankind has any ability to even create global warming. This AB 32 puts us at a competitive disadvantage in the state of California. In this county, we have 18% unemployment already, and this is going to do nothing more than just drive business out of the state and increasing the unemployment and reducing our tax base even further. The better consideration about the effects of AB 32 is in order, and a delay in implementing this ill-conceived assembly bill is certainly in order. That's my point. I could go on for a half hour on this, but I'll give anybody else a chance if they'd like to address this.
I'd like to make the motion. I'd just like to make motion and approval of the adoption of the resolution.
To save us the half hour, I'll second the motion.
You know, I could easily go an hour. I think, on
no doubt.
A motion is made by Supervisor Chiesa and seconded by Supervisor Grover to approve the resolution. Any further comments from the board? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0.
I do have one other item I'd like to share with the board relating to legislation. And that is to let you know that Senator Dave Cogdell is alive and well and working very hard for the benefit of Stanislaus County and its residents. He had recently introduced SB 684, which is another negative bailout bill. That bill has passed Senate Local Government Committee on a unanimous vote and is going to be moving forward. Over the next several weeks, we hope, and while we're not overly optimistic, we remain hopeful and very appreciative of the senator for the work that he's doing for us.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Robinson. We will now adjourn to closed session. Mr. Doering.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have one item to discuss in closed session today. That's a conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation involving one case. This will be held pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision C, and we do not expect any report out.
Okay, this meeting stands adjourned.